Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
With us here on the program today. Great to have you along with us for a conversation about what is impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, and today's program brought to you by our friends at Senex. Downtime's a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Senex premium diesel fuel. Learn more online at senex.com or trust your local experts at your nearest Senex location. We got a great show lined up for you here today. We are going to be talking fuel and what's going on in the energy markets coming up later in the show. Dara Domi, the fuel hedge, going to join us after the bottom of the hour. And also, USDA's NASS has announced they're getting rid of, discontinuing some reports, some of those affecting the cattle industry. Tanner Beamer with the NCBA is going to join us at the end of the show for updates and reaction to that news. First up, though, here on the program, very excited for today's show as we are getting a chance to sit down with the ranking member of the Senate Agriculture Committee. Arkansas Senator John Bozeman is joining us here for the first half of the show today. And Senator Bozeman, welcome back to AOA. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, as always.
Well, we have plenty of time and a lot of different things to talk about here, Senator. So let's dive right in. And I want to start with the farm bill. And there's a few different things that we could talk about tied in with this farm bill. But I know at this point, of course, everyone is kind of wondering where we're at with getting a new five-year legislation done. I know Senator Chuck Schumer has come out here in recent days with some of his priorities and goals for the next few weeks and months ahead, and the farm bill wasn't mentioned in those goals on the Senate side. So let's just start overall. What's some of the latest here in terms of maybe getting a new farm bill done, Senator Bozeman?
Well, I'm not so worried about Senator Schumer not listing it. This is a complex thing. It's $1.5 trillion over 10 years, so it's a lot of money. It's, as you know, it's part farm and it's a lot nutrition. And you mentioned also that this is a five-year program. And so to commit our farmers to 5 years, not just 1 year, but a five-year contract, because we take this very seriously in Congress. Once we set this, then it is a contract with our farmers. We don't allow other entities like transportation to steal the money and this and that. Again, you know, it is a contract. So we've got to get it right. And the world is totally different now than when we crafted the 2018 Farm Bill. That the data that we used then was really based on 2012. And so it's so much different now than 2018. And especially since 2012, we have to reset things. Our farmers are in a situation now where they're facing, these tremendously high input costs. Those are not going to go down. They're going to continue. All of our experts tell us that. But also you've got now a decrease in commodity prices. And so it's a situation where it's really difficult on our farm community. Last 2 years, we've had the biggest drop in farm income each year ever. And now the forecast is that that's going to continue this year. So the farm bill, to me, the first thing you've got to get in order, in place, is making sure that the risk management tools are there so that our farmers can go to the bank, borrow the money that they need, and know that they're taking huge risk, but at least there is a bottom to that risk, and that's through crop insurance, ARC, PLC, programs like that.
Well, to that end, I want to ask you about the Farmer Act. I know on Tuesday afternoon you spoke in support of this on the Senate floor. Your colleague, Senator John Hoeven of North Dakota, introducing the Farmer Act. Can you give us some details on what exactly the Farmer Act is all about? I know it kind of ties in with some of what you're talking about there with risk management.
Yeah, the risk management tools, crop insurance, works well when prices are high. ARC and PLC those are programs that work when you know, prices are low. So you need both. And so what Senator Hogan has done, he's done a tremendous job working with us, working with the producers all over the country, saying, how can we strengthen crop insurance? You know, how can we make it such that it's more usable and provides the protection that we need now, you know, in this new world that we're living in with these tremendous increased costs, again, with commodity prices going down. So really what it does is increase the premium support for revenue protection, you know, and yield. At the 80% coverage level from 68 to 77%, and then the 85% coverage level from 53 to 68%, and premium support for the supplemental coverage option SCO from 65 to 80% increases the SCO coverage level from 86 to 90%. So that's, you know, that's pretty technical. But basically what that does, again, is just provide further support, pluses up crop insurance. And crop insurance really is the underpinning, you know, of all of our risk management tools. So it's really important. What we're trying to do is just provide the tools in the toolbox so that our farmers can continue on. Senator Hoven is also the ranking member on the appropriations part of agriculture. So he's high level on the authorizing committee, and then, like I say, is the ranking member on appropriations. So he's up to his eyebrows in agriculture and really doing a good job.
We got about a minute here before we have to take a quick break, but in your eyes, as you know, traveled around the country too, here in listening sessions and more, Senator Bozeman, is crop insurance the number one concern of farmers out there as we get a new five-year farm bill, in your opinion?
Well, there's really three or four things that I hear over and over, and certainly risk management, crop insurance, increasing reference prices, things like that are right at the top. But also trade. Trade is the lifeblood of agriculture. 40% of the product in Arkansas is exported. That would be true throughout the nation. Last year we had a for the first time in 50 years, or one of the, I think the only, there might have been one other time, but essentially the first time in 50 years we had a trade imbalance in agriculture. That's always been the bright star. So we need to do a much better job with trade. These countries are begging us. Nobody wants to put all their eggs in the China basket anymore. And so there's a lot of opportunities, but to be honest, the administration is simply not following through. Research is another component I hear a lot about for our farmers to be successful. They've got to produce more with less. And that's what research is all about. And that's really a good story in the sense we've done a good job of that in the past. And then again, the conservation title, you know, is mm-hmm. also very, very important. So those are really the main things that I hear Zymap about.
Well, we're going to pick up a few of those topics here on the other side of this break, especially the trade one. I'm curious to get some more thoughts from you on that. We are talking today with a ranking member of the Senate Agriculture Committee, Arkansas Senator Republican John Bozeman, and we will be back and continue our conversation with him after the break here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. We'll be back with more with Senator Bozeman right after this. On the April episode of The Monthly Grind, we discussed the latest on SAF and corn as a feedstock for SAF with Lane Howard from the Missouri Corn Growers Association and John Del Monte from the Michigan Corn Growers Association.
We've seen the growth of the aviation industry, specifically the commercial industry. By 2030, we're looking for 8 billion passengers. SAF helps offset those carbon emissions, sometimes up to 80%, and so that's going to be critical for all of those commercial airliners to reach their sustainability goals.
Corn is a very sustainable ethanol to jet pathway for SAF. Obviously, as the markets are kind of reflecting here recently, there's an abundance of corn. So we know that we have an abundant feedstock for an ethanol to jet pathway. And so we're having more conversations about what it's going to take to make SAF a reality when we have eager buyers like the commercial airline industry.
Tune in the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for The Monthly Grind and learn more at ncga.com.
AGCO is proud to launch PTX, a new leading brand that combines precision ag technologies from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble. The alignment of these brands supports farmers, dealers, and OEMs globally. PTX Trimble and Precision Planting understand the challenges of farming. That's why they design solutions to help you implement technology and automation on your farm. They knew there was a better way, so they're building it together. With a combined set of products from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble, there are now precision ag technologies to touch all brands, equipment types, and farms. PTX spans the entire crop cycle, from land prep to planting, spraying to harvesting, and each pass in between. Innovative brands you trust, powerfully simple, seamlessly compatible. PTX. Visit PTXAg.com to learn more.
A promise is potent. Born of intention, fueled by commitment, it's seeing things through, always showing up. And we know a thing or two about promises here at Susan G. Komen. Over 40 years ago, we locked arms with you toward one vision, a world without breast cancer. By investing in life-saving research and standing up for patient rights, we are shifting the system so all people everywhere get the care they deserve. Because if you've just been diagnosed and don't know where to turn, we've got you. If you can't afford the treatment you need, we've got you. And if you are driven to raise money to honor the best friend you've just lost, we have a place for you here. Because of you, we're supporting those who need help today while tirelessly searching for tomorrow's cures. Ending breast cancer needs all of us. Visit Komen.org and be a part of the Susan G. Komen community today.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by our friends at Cenex and their Cenex Premium Lubricants. Not all grease created equal. Learn more about their premium greases at Cenex.com. Jesse Allen back with you. We continue our conversation with ranking member of the Senate Agriculture Committee, Arkansas Senator John Bozeman. And Senator, thanks for sticking with us here. I know you have a few more minutes before you have to get to another meeting. So we appreciate it. Before the break, you mentioned trade. And I want to pick that up with you a little bit, because I think that is one area there's been a lot of frustration amongst not only folks on Capitol Hill, but in agriculture in general, with the way the lack of trade, for really lack of a better term, and new trade deals we've seen from this current administration. Your thoughts on things we could do to maybe improve ag trade here for American farmers?
Well, as I said, you know, remarkably, for the first, again, one of the few times in 50 years, we had a significant trade imbalance last year. We're projected to have a bigger trade imbalance this year. So, you know, we don't want our food being offshored. And so you say, well, John, that's not going to happen. But again, it could happen. So I'm very, very concerned about it. The administration is not doing a good job. And I don't mean that politically. The unions don't like trade. The administration is just simply not out there doing what they need to do. And also, as I said earlier, it's a great opportunity because the Chinese are, you know, they're so erratic these days. People don't want to exclusively do that. So they're looking for new markets all over the world. And we simply aren't there. They're looking for our leadership. We're just not there to do it. So Senator Stabenow and I asked Secretary Vilsack to use some CCC dollars to augment the trade, policy as far as trying to create some new markets. That's in the process. But this is something we have to have the attitude that we've got one customer in the United States and thousands of customers throughout the world in order to be successful in agriculture.
I want to ask you as well, you mentioned Senator Debbie Stabenow, and I know there's been some recent news talking about some of the back and forth and maybe the gridlock between Republicans and Democrats over the farm bill, for instance, and the nutrition side versus the crop side. And as you've been working with Senator Stabenow now, and I know we've tried to have her on the show to talk about her perspectives as well, is it as big of a gridlock as maybe some media outlets have made it out to be, in your opinion? I mean, how do things stand between trying to figure out the nutrition side versus the crop side of this farm bill? If you could give us some insight there.
Well, the 2018 farm bill was scored at $867 billion in that range. That's morphed into $1.5 trillion. Almost all of that increase is nutrition. Nutrition's almost double. And so really what we're saying is, look, you know, we have to support our farmers. If you don't have a healthy farm community, the average age of our farmers is 58, 59 years old. People aren't going back to the farm. Rural America is really struggling because agriculture is all that's left. And so young people, you know, if you don't have the amenities that you need, if you don't have healthy rural communities, which again are falling apart right now because of loss of population, 53% of our counties in America lost population. And so we simply have to get more farm in the farm bill. That's something we have to do. So we're at a little bit of an impasse there. I have a lot of respect for Senator Stabenow. We've worked together very closely. We've done some really difficult things together. And so, you know, we're continuing to work. I think probably what's going to happen in the future is that Congressman Thompson, the chair of the House Ag Committee, will put out a bill probably around the end of May, in that time frame, sometime in May. We have a framework that we're putting together, and what we want to do is follow him, let him lead on it. But we'll have a framework as to, you know, what we feel like is needs to be done, and then all the while negotiating with Senator Stabenow and her team as to a path forward.
All right. Well, great thoughts. And we've focused a lot on the farm bill here today, Senator Bozeman. I'll open it up to you. You've been very generous with your time here joining us today. Final thoughts from you, anything that we haven't touched on or anything you want to reiterate to farmers and ranchers listening in here as you guys continue to work on Capitol Hill?
No, the only thing I'd say is that I've had the opportunity to be in 20 states in the last year. We've got several more to do, doing listening sessions, and farmers are the same all over the country. You know, there's not a better group of people. I understand the stress that they're under, and so we're working hard to get them a farm bill that we can be proud of, something that is going to be helpful, and make it such that they can continue to do the great work that they're doing, allowing us to have the cheapest, safest food supply of anybody. We're so blessed. I think the average household spends about 12% of their income on food. You know, it's closer to 25% in the rest of the world. We take all of this for granted. We don't have to worry that the sandwich that we buy, you know, that is tainted or whatever. So we want to continue that, but it's going to take some hard work. And like I say, we're willing to do that. We want to not just do something, we want to do the right thing, though, and come up with a good farm bill.
Well, we again really appreciate the time. Senator John Bozeman, ranking member of the Senate Agriculture Committee from Arkansas. Senator, always a pleasure. Open invitation anytime you want to join us here on AOA. We'll let you get to your meeting. Thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
No, thank you, and we very much appreciate your show. Thank you, sir.
Senator John Bozeman of Arkansas joining us here on AOA today. Great thoughts, and maybe looking end of May, as he indicated there, maybe we'll get some text from the House side. Maybe we'll get some stuff out from the Senate as well. He mentioned kind of letting the House Ag Committee maybe lead on that farm bill. We'll see how this all shakes out. And, you know, it's one of those things where I know to his point earlier in the show, he talked about getting it right. And I know that that's a big, big point of emphasis here, because a lot has changed in agriculture since the 2018 Farm Bill was written. So I know many folks are waiting, want to see this legislation get done. At the same time, hoping we can get it right. That's going to be the big key here, I think, as well, because it lasts for 5 years, and in this case, sometimes a little bit longer when you have to do an extension. So, good thoughts. Really appreciate the time with Senator Bozeman joining us here today on AOA. A couple other notes here real quick before we get to our next break. The National Milk Producers Federation and the International Dairy Foods Association expressed disappointment in Tuesday's final rule to update the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC. The final rule maintains the proposed rule's cuts to dairy in the WIC food packages. WIC is a vital program ensuring that pregnant women, new mothers, infants, and children have access to key nutrients that may be lacking in their diets, so decreasing the amount of dairy decreases the nutrients they are accessing through it. Now, NMPF President and CEO Greg Dowd responded to this news, saying, quote, "This rule works against the WIC program's goal of ensuring all Americans have consistent and equitable access to healthy, safe, and affordable foods," end quote. Now, milk, cheese, and yogurt are three of the five top redeemed items through WIC, according to NMPF and IDFA. While disappointed in the cuts to the dairy allotments, the groups appreciate the rule's requirement that states offer lactose-free milk and a wider selection of product package sizes. So again, both the National Milk Producers Federation and the International Dairy Foods Association showing their disappointment with that final WIC rule, reducing access to dairy. One of many stories we continue to watch here throughout agriculture. Another one, of course, I mentioned this at the top of the show, the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service announcing Tuesday they're canceling the July cattle report and discontinuing all county estimates for crops and livestock and the cotton objective yield survey beginning with the 2024 production year. We're going to talk about that coming up later in the show. We have reaction on the way from Tanner Beamer, Senior Director of Government Affairs with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. He's going to join us coming up in segment four today to discuss that news coming out here this week. On the way next, though, on AOA, we're going to turn our attention to the energy markets. What is happening with diesel fuel, with crude oil, things like that. We got some things that we want to take a look at there. Joining us, Darren Domi, the Fuel Hedge, is going to be back with us here on the show. Coming up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Downtime's a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. More at Cenex.com. We'll be back on AOA right after this.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
You're listening to AOA. Here's a check of markets for the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra. Corn Thursday will feature not only a revised CONAB production estimate for Brazil corn and soy, but also the April WASDE report. Expectations are for a modest decline in U.S. corn ending stocks, that due to both exports and ethanol production exceeding yearly USDA estimates. The 70 million bushel reduction expected would still result in the highest carryout in the past 5 years at a comfortable 2.1 billion bushels. Weather in the U.S. should allow a rapid acceleration in planting in the western and southern plains on the drier and warmer forecast. It's quite the opposite in the Delta and Southeast, where heavy and flooding rains continue to saturate soil. Weather in both Brazil and Argentina remains mostly favorable, and some rain is headed for the drier areas of southern Brazil before it's expected to turn drier yet and the wet season ends. Soybeans, U.S. soybean demand continues to reflect the discount of over 40 cents per bushel that Brazil free on board beans have compared to the U.S. Gulf. Export sales are down 19% from a year ago. Exporter group ANEC estimates Brazil soy exports for April are likely to be 12.7 million metric tons compared to 14 million metric tons a year ago. China's soybean arrivals are pegged at 9.2 million metric tons for April, with 6.36 million metric tons of that from Brazil and just 2.8 million metric tons from the U.S. Strength in wheat is coming from a rising Russian cash market, with Russian 12.5% protein free on board offers now up more than $14 a metric ton from 3 weeks ago. On the cattle side, there's anticipation that cash cattle will trade at least with steady prices this week. That's a check at markets on AOA for the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra.
Hi, I'm Jenny Garth. I've loved and cared for rescue animals since I was a little girl growing up on a farm in Illinois. My pets have always been some of the most important members of my family. My friends at American Humane have been helping animals for over 140 years. Adopting an animal in need can help save a life and add a new member to your family. Since 1981, American Humane has celebrated Adopt a Dog Month each October in an effort to help the estimated 3 to 4 million animals waiting in shelters every year to get the loving forever home that they deserve. I urge you to consider fostering or adopting a shelter pet and to support the noble mission of American Humane. Together, we can make a significant difference in the lives of these loving creatures. For more information, please check out AmericanHumane.org.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Agriculture of America, AOA, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium Diesel to keep you going. Learn more at Cenex.com. Really great conversation with Arkansas Senator, ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, John Bozeman, here in the first part of the show. And that farm bill, again, maybe sounded like we could still get some text out here from the House and the Senate committees. Maybe it may. It's kind of the indication Senator Bozeman had. We'll see if that ends up being the case or not. Obviously, a lot going on Capitol Hill. Well, there's a lot going on in the energy markets, too. Let's turn our attention there and talk about it. Joining us now, welcome back to AOA, Darren Domi, the Fuel Hedge. Darren, thanks for being with us. Hope you're doing well today.
Jesse, I'm fantastic, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, let's start with just where gas and diesel prices are. Been watching the prices at the pump ticking higher, ticking higher, ticking higher here the last couple of weeks. I know crude oil has moved up above that $85 a barrel mark. It's been kind of holding there the last couple of weeks as well. Let's just start. What's your assessment of the way fuel prices have been trending here in recent weeks?
Well, Jesse, let's just start here with gasoline, and I'll work my way around the horn. Gasoline has rallied probably about 87 cents since it made its seasonal low back in December 13th. That's in the futures market, and the cash market has actually firmed up a little bit more than that. And you normally see gasoline rally from that late fourth quarter low of November, December on into usually about the fourth of May or the first week of May. And normally that rally is usually about $1.50, but so far this year we've gone about 50% of that to about, I'm going to say, 87 cents in the futures market. Now in the diesel fuel, we've only rallied about half that, 50 cents. But I'd like to point out that the cash markets seem to be carrying the weight. I've seen the Chicago diesel fuel cash market and the Group 3 diesel, which is the Western Corn Belt area, basis values, meaning the cash markets in Chicago, have rallied over 50 cents since the end of January alone, strengthening more than the futures market. And the Group 3 in the Western Corn Belt has rallied a little over 40 cents. So that's on top of the futures rally. So the cash market in the diesel fuel has been fairly strong, but you haven't been seeing it in the futures. Crude oil continuing to rally. We've had some surprise drone attacks in Russia that continue to knock out some of the refinery production. The U.S. is also starting to tighten the sanctions that they put on Russia after the invasion of the Ukraine, and that's starting to tighten up some of the Russian export barrels making it around the world. India so far has had to kind of redirect some of their crude oil buying, which they were buying a lot of their crude from Russia and using it to make diesel fuel to export around the world. So we're not seeing that right now. So things are starting to tighten up a little bit.
Now, I've seen some news notes, and I think you shared this in one of your newsletters as well recently, that I think it was Goldman has predicted $100 Brent crude if we see any supply challenges, you know, added on to anything we've seen currently. I mean, is a scenario like that, in your opinion, as you watch these markets, is that possible to watch here as we get into the summer months, maybe?
Well, as we get into the summer months, we've got a lot of different things we need to look out for. Obviously, Goldman's turned a little more upbeat because OPEC's been able to maintain these production cuts. And I know that the Biden administration is trying to been working on Saudi Arabia and OPEC members to increase production since they have available supply. But obviously, most people know that Saudi Arabia would rather see a big changeover in this administration, as well as many other people in this country. So they want to keep crude oil prices on the firm side, and it's helping out their own budget. Now, the worries going into summer is, you know, continued geopolitical concerns in the Middle East. You know, are you going to get a ceasefire with Israel, Gaza, Hamas, Iran, Houthi, whatever their terrorist name is? Other big fears that you continue to see is the water temperatures in the lower Atlantic Ocean or the Gulf of Mexico are already where they are normally in July. So with those warm water temperatures and this El Nino condition that we're kind of in right now, if we start getting early hurricanes that are entering the Gulf, these warm waters, we could see a very active and intense hurricane season this year. And, of course, all we need to do is go through the Gulf. You're taking out a lot of the big Gulf oil well production. Then if you have any kind of storm, head up into that Houston Ship Channel or into that New Orleans refining production area, we're in trouble from a supply standpoint.
Darren, how about natural gas? Let's talk there a little bit. I know nat gas can have some impacts in things like the fertilizer market. We had a pretty mild winter for much of the U.S., so maybe, you know, not as much natural gas being used. Your thoughts on that side of the energy market?
The natural gas, I think, could be a big sleeper bull market later this year for us. We had an extremely warm winter here in the U.S. as well as Europe. So everybody's kind of sitting with ample natural gas stocks right now. Natural gas, I think, is near a low or could maybe make one more low before we get into our summer air conditioning season. A lot of your listeners probably don't realize it takes 30% more energy to cool a building with air conditioning than it does to heat it. So if you get into a really hot summer, hot, humid summer, then you could really see a big spike in the natural gas demand. Now, one thing I'd mention to a lot of your listeners out there is these hurricanes don't affect natural gas like they used to 10, 15 years ago. Since you started seeing a lot of this shale drilling and fracking, that a lot of the natural gas now is onshore, especially in that coming from that Permian Basin and also in that Marcellus, Ohio region. Ohio has become one of the biggest players in natural gas, cheap natural gas, and you're seeing a lot of big plastic factories moving into that Ohio area for that cheap natural gas. Now, to take that one step further, as you get into late spring, early summer, it may be a great opportunity to own the natural gas market, just because the traders, the hedge funds, are very short that market. And it is very cheap, and you haven't seen these kind of prices for several years.
Darren, thinking about the overall economy, inflation concerns, we continue to watch things like the CPI and the PPI, and I know we just got inflation data out here on Wednesday morning. That CPI up 0.4% month over month, 3.5% year over year. Gold has been on a tear, things like that. Do you feel that with the way inflation looks, that maybe we could see more of these energy markets be a hedge against inflation potentially? And I'm kind of thinking here, maybe that could happen, I guess. I don't know your thoughts on that, if we could see something like that.
You know, that's a real tough question, because even some of the big economists that I watch, they're in the same dilemma of, okay, inflation, you'd think things are going up, but here's the problem. Interest rates are going to end up following. With that CPI number you had out today at 3.5%, you know, you've got car insurance up 22%, transportation inflation up 10.7%, car repairs up 8.2%, hospital services, I mean, I can go on, up 7.5%, you know, rent inflation up 5.7%, electricity up 5%. So that tells you things are just continuing to go. So what do you fear most? The government will not come back with any interest rate cuts. And Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan even made a comment yesterday. We may end up seeing a interest rate spike in the future. And, when he's coming out talking like that, he's probably leading us to try and soften the blow. If we're going to try and stop this inflation, we're going to have to probably raise rates or keep them the same high, keep them where they're at.
Yeah, a lot of things to think about. We got just about a minute here, Darren. Great stuff, and appreciate it. If folks want to stay up to date with your outlooks on the energy markets, your commentaries, more, I know they could find you online very easily. Where can they find you, Darren?
Hey, they can find me at thefuelhedge.com. And if they would like to read my commentary on a daily basis, they can hit that subscribe button and subscribe to my daily commentary. I cover some of the general news that's going on that affect the petroleum markets, and also write about the cash markets, and I have technical analysis of some of the charts for them to make some better informed buying decisions.
Find him again online at thefuelhedge.com. With that, Darren Domi, The Fuel Hedge. Appreciate you being on AOA with us. And I know you got spring planting coming up here in your neck of the woods there in Illinois. So best of luck with spring planting season, and we'll get you back on the show again real soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Darren Domi, The Fuel Hedge. Again, find him, thefuelhedge.com, for more information. All right, coming up next here on AOA, I've been teasing this, the National Agricultural Statistics Service announcing Tuesday they're canceling the July cattle report, discontinuing the all-county estimates for crops and livestock, and the cotton objective yield survey beginning with the 2024 production year. What is going on here? We have reaction from the NCBA. Tanner Beamer with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association will join us next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Lubricants. Learn more at cenex.com. Back with AOA on the way right after this.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Loss of sight won't blind our vision. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we examine how the modern cooperative system solves today's biggest challenges. We'll be talking to CHS experts and farmers and ranchers just like you, and we'll learn how cooperatives apply innovation and technology to help co-op owners get more value every day. Join us Around the Table every Tuesday, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
AGCO is proud to launch PTX, a new leading brand that combines precision ag technologies from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble. The alignment of these brands supports farmers, dealers, and OEMs globally. PTX Trimble and Precision Planting understand the challenges of farming. That's why they design solutions to help you implement technology and automation on your farm. They knew there was a better way, so they're building it together. With a combined set of products from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble, there are now precision ag technologies to touch all brands, equipment types, and farms. PTX spans the entire crop cycle, from land prep to planting, spraying to harvesting, and each pass in between. Innovative brands you trust, powerfully simple, seamlessly compatible. PTX. Visit PTXAg.com to learn more.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Cenex Premium Lubricants. Trust your local experts at Cenex or visit Cenex.com for more information. Well, on Tuesday, USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service announced they are canceling the July cattle report and discontinuing the county estimates for crops and livestock and the cotton objective yield survey beginning with the 2024 production year. So what is going on with this news? Joining us now for reaction and giving us more details on things, Tanner Beamer, Senior Director of Government Affairs with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Tanner, thanks for joining us. So what exactly is USDA doing here, Tanner?
Well, according to the press release they put out, Jesse, they are trying to comply with budget cuts and try and stretch that dollar out a little bit. And it is true that the National Agricultural Statistics Service specifically took about an 11% haircut during the last appropriations bills that passed through Congress here a couple weeks ago that you and I chatted about. But in actuality, the amount of savings that they are going to realize through canceling these reports and discontinuing others and making some other revisions are not going to be the types of savings that are going to justify the immense cost to industry by not having access to this information. You know, if you want to just look at that July cattle inventory report, that is an incredibly important set of data that a lot of market analysts, livestock producers, and other participants in the marketplace rely upon to give us a sense of what's going on with supply and demand dynamics. And that's especially critical during what the phase of the cattle cycle that we're currently in, which is herd contraction. You know, this has been very similar to the 2014 run in a lot of ways, but in several other ways, it's been very different. And we won't be able to compare and contrast the two and get an accurate picture of where we are at as an industry without that information that comes out in that July report. So that was a very disappointing decision to hear out of USDA. And we are pushing back on that and trying to reiterate the importance of this report to cattle producers.
Yeah, I couldn't echo that sentiment more. I mean, that is extremely important information to look at here that can really have an impact on a lot of producers' bottom lines. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, some folks may say, oh, it's just one report, but it's still a very important set of data that can impact the marketplace, Tanner.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we get inventory reports twice a year, one in January and one in July. And that January inventory report is also important, but it is insufficient to kind of give us that sense of where we're at mid-year, right? That mm-hmm. July report is looking at a very different seasonal time and a very different set of data. And again, the more information that you can pump into a marketplace, the better your price discovery is going to be, the better informed you're able to make decisions, and just the more robust a marketplace is. And it's especially ironic that this Department of Agriculture has been touting its record on market transparency virtually since day one, and really talking about how they want to make improvements in the livestock markets. And to do that in one sub-agency while another sub-agency is taking away that very market transparency is very disingenuous from our perspective.
Yeah, it's almost like saying one thing, doing another in this case. And I know, too, that I've seen some chatter on social media about with the county estimates for crops and livestock, even you know on the crop side, things that could affect Arc County and stuff like that could be coming out with these reports. So I guess, Tanner, I mean, looking at all this is fresh. Where do we go from here? What can we do to try and maybe convince USDA to reinstate some of these reports?
So this is not the first time that USDA has tried to eliminate a cattle inventory report. I think the most recent time was in 2016, and there was tremendous backlash from the industry, again, because of the importance of these reports to producers. And as a result, USDA reversed that decision, and they continued publication of that report. And to be fair, it is one of the more expensive reports that NAS puts out, but it is still cost less than $1 million, which in the grand scheme of the federal budget is a rounding error. So in terms of next steps, I think we need to be really focused on reiterating to USDA that there will be far more impact than the benefit of a cost savings that this decision will have. And it will affect producers, the very producers that their whole mission is to serve. And then in the longer term, it's going to be incumbent upon us as industry to reiterate the importance of these programs to congressional appropriators. You know, they are very focused on Capitol Hill right now on addressing the national debt and federal spending. And that's a goal that I think most cattle producers in the country would agree with and wholeheartedly support. but that can't come at the expense of very important programs that people rely upon, especially considering, you know, we are saving pennies by comparison, right? The entirety of the federal budget that is discretionary spending is minimal by comparison to some of the other places where it's just less politically expedient to look at making haircuts. So we've got our work cut out for us over the next couple of years to try and reiterate that to folks on Capitol Hill. But in the meantime, our number one objective is to ensure that USDA resumes their plans to release a July inventory report, because again, at this particular moment where we're at in the long-term cattle cycle, it would be detrimental not to have access to that data.
All right. Well, again, this is an issue we're going to follow among many other issues. Of course, folks could stay up to date at ncba.org. With that, Tanner Beamer, Senior Director of Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Tanner, thanks for joining us here on AOA today. Always good to chat with you, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Jesse.
And once again, Tanner Beamer there with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, again announcing Tuesday they're canceling the July cattle report and discontinuing the all-county estimates for crops and livestock and the cotton objective yield survey beginning with the 2024 production year due to budgetary reasons, budget cuts. Very interesting decision by USDA's NASS, and one that we're going to be watching closely here as we move forward. Well, we're out of time on the show today. We've had a busy show. Thanks to Tanner. Thanks to Derek Domi with the Fuel Hedge for joining us. And, of course, our conversation with Senator John Bozeman, the ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee. Coming up tomorrow on AOA, Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics will be stopping by. We'll also talk with Josh Bakey from Farm Progress. All that and more coming up tomorrow on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Learn more at Cenex.com. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us. Right now, cancer research is saving lives. Cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to new discoveries and new treatments, and ultimately, one day, victory over cancer. Right now, one out of every two men and one out of every three women will get cancer in their lifetime. Now is your moment. You may save someone you love. The V Foundation has the skill, the speed, and the strength to achieve victory over cancer. Because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at v.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.